WHD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Peter King. The leaders of Ukraine and the U.S. will meet at the White House today. Ukraine's President Zelensky will also meet with members of Congress who'll be voting on whether to continue sending aid to his country. National Security Advisor Jake Sullivan.
President Biden looks forward to hearing President Zelensky and to reaffirm for the world and for the United States, for the American people, his commitment to continuing to lead the world in supporting Ukraine.
I'm Cammy McCormick. A massive Russian missile barrage targeted Ukraine. Ukraine's infrastructure, resulting in power cuts to 400 cities and towns. The attack comes amid a dispute between Ukraine and Poland, which had said it would no longer deliver weapons to Ukraine. Poland now says it will only carry out previously agreed-upon arms deliveries. This all stems from a grain dispute. Poland had been one of Ukraine's staunchest allies.
The current surge in migrants has border towns stretched to the max as they try to house and feed them. Here's correspondent Manuel Bajorquez.
Local leaders here in El Paso are veterans when it comes to providing food and shelter to those who have newly arrived. But once again, some of those organizers are telling me they are being pushed to the brink.
In Marion County, Indiana, two records clerks have been fired after their mistakes led to the release of an accused killer. Sheriff Kelly Forrestal.
I couldn't afford to fire the two people I did because we don't have another replacement. But I also could not afford to have people who would release somebody on murder charged to the street.
The Writers Guild and studio reps are due to talk again today, trying to resolve that nearly five-month-old strike. Various media reports say the two sides are closer. The writers want higher pay and protections from the use of artificial intelligence.
We're all out here for a fair contract. The studios tried to divide us in the press, on Twitter. That's an old playbook from 2007. It's not going to work this time.
Boston College says it suspended its men's and women's swimming and diving programs after claims of hazing, but school hasn't said why. It's provided no other details. Students are waiting to find out more.
I think hazing is, you know, in general, something we should probably move past.
I'm definitely interested to learn more about what happened, because that's a really surprising punishment, I guess, and really sad for all those girls who work super hard.
The Labor Department says last week's applications for unemployment benefits fell by 20,000 from the previous week. They're now at about 201,000, their lowest level in 8 months. Four-week moving average of claims fell by just over 7,500 to 217,000. Ahead of the opening bell, S&P futures down 35 points, Dow futures down 162. This is CBS News.
You need to hire fast and hire right? You need Indeed. Their all-in-one hiring platform helps you attract, interview, and hire candidates efficiently. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
Moments like speed.
Civic Media radio stations, providing your news, conversations, and fun you won't find anywhere else.
For Civic Media News, I'm James Kelly. After asking all 132 Wisconsin state legislators to take public positions on his plan to address the state's workforce challenges, Wisconsin Governor Tony Evers announced in a press release that not one of the 86 Republican legislators responded to the survey. The survey covered questions about attracting and retaining workers in the state, supporting 12-week paid family leave, and challenges posed to the workforce through a lack of affordable child care. All Democratic legislators responded to the survey. U.S. Senator Tammy Baldwin has reintroduced her Go Pack Go Act, a piece of legislation designed to guarantee all Wisconsin residents have access to watching the Green Bay Packers. Senator Baldwin cited poor scheduling by the NFL making it difficult for northern and western Wisconsin residents to watch the Packers on TV. The bill would require cable and satellite TV providers to give Wisconsin subscribers access to programming from TV stations in a Wisconsin media market. For Civic Media News, I'm James Kelly.
Cranberry juice, cranberry wine, cranberry brats, cranberry cream puffs. And excuse me, but my cranberry bread is ready. It's cranberry season in Wisconsin, and we're the cranberry capital of not just the U.S., but our farmers also produce more than half of the world's cranberry supply. So can you guess which state Wisconsin beat out to earn the number one spot? New Jersey? Washington State? Massachusetts? The answer coming up. Fall is harvest time, and you can see the machines rolling through the marshlands, which are flooded to help the cranberries float to the top. But it hasn't always been wasn't this easy. Back in the mid-1800s, the berries had to be picked by hand. It took another 100 years for the right equipment to be built to help with this harvest. Okay, so Wisconsin owns the cranberry capital title, but which state lost it to us? Massachusetts, which has been number two ever since. By the way, the cranberry is the official state fruit, making it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
If I could be you,
and you could be me,
for just 1 hour,
if you could find a way
to get inside
each other's mind,
walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out, and for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. We are your hometown radio, refreshed. Thanks for listening to your local Civic Media radio station. Learn more on our website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome back to the Stu Daniels Show, 8 minutes after 9 o'clock right now. And you don't know how it feels to be an average person trying to make it from paycheck to paycheck. You don't know how it feels if you're a millionaire Republican, right? It's often said that the Republicans are the party of the millionaires, the billionaires, and the corporations. The Democrats are the party of the working class, the middle class. I have an interesting story here from rawstory.com. This piece posted today, this morning. With a headline, it says, Millionaire Republicans Condemned for Pushing Huge Cuts to Medicaid and Food Benefits. Why would millionaires want to do that? Well, let me give you a little bit of the story here. It says Representative Ilhan Omar on Wednesday condemned her Republican colleagues for proposing a budget resolution that includes massive cuts to key aid programs while backing an extension of giveaways for the wealthy and large corporations. Are you surprised? Here's a quote from the Congresswoman. She said, "We are in the midst of a shutdown crisis because Republicans can't even organize their own caucus to pass funding levels that were already agreed to." And that's what it says. Omar, Democrat from Minnesota, said during the House Budget Committee's markup of the new resolution. She went on and said, "And now they launch some of the most radical cuts to health care, to housing assistance, to food assistance, to the postal office, and nearly every program under the sun, all while doing nothing to rein in our nearly trillion-dollar Pentagon budget or the trillions they've handed out to millionaires and billionaires through the Trump tax cuts. There's a lot of awful stuff in this budget," Omar continued, pointing to the proposal's $1.9 trillion in Medicaid cuts over the next decade, as well as the hundreds of millions of dollars in cuts to the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, known as SNAP. She said, "Literally starving families who are already struggling with rising food prices." Omar also slammed the resolution's call for a bipartisan commission to examine Social Security, Medicare, and other trust fund programs, a proposal that advocates warn is a ploy to fast-track benefit cuts. Here's a quote. This is, again, from Ilhan Omar. "But what is the most sickening is that they entirely leave in place the Trump and Bush tax cuts to benefit them and their friends, which have cost over $10 trillion and are responsible for almost all of the increasing debt ratio," said the Minnesota Democrat. "Oh, and on top of that, they defund enforcement of high-earning tax cheats. So not only do they want the tax breaks for their millionaire and billionaire buddies, but they also want to get rid of the enforcement at the IRS to make sure that those people are paying the correct amount of tax." Omar went on to single out by name ultra-wealthy members of the House Budget Committee who would benefit from an extension of Trump-era tax provisions and any further weakening of the Internal Revenue Service. She said, "That includes Buddy Carter, who has vocally pushed to slash Medicaid and take away health care from his own constituents and is worth $33 million, said Omar. "And it includes Ralph Norman, one of the most extreme advocates of taking away food assistance from working people, who is worth a whopping $43 million. The House Budget Committee advanced the Republican resolution in a party line vote on Wednesday, with all of the panel's Democrats voting no. Representative Brendan Boyle, Democrat from Pennsylvania, the top Democrat on the committee, said in response to the vote that, quote, "Just 10 days away from another Republican government shutdown, Budget Committee Republicans have revealed just how extreme their budget plan really is. This budget resolution is a dark vision for America, one that favors the wealthy and well-connected over working families, one that makes massive cuts to the critical programs Americans rely on, and one that doubles down on the extreme demands that are driving our nation towards a shutdown." On Wednesday, House Speaker Kevin McCarthy, Republican from California, reportedly briefed his caucus on a new plan to keep the government open beyond September 30th, a proposal that includes even steeper spending cuts than what the White House and Republicans agreed to as part of their debt ceiling deal earlier this year. Boyle said Wednesday that Democrats will remain opposed to the Republicans' push for extreme cuts. Quote, while Republicans may not care about the costs of a government shutdown or the devastating impact of these cuts, Democrats do, said Boyle. We will continue fighting to make sure this nightmarish vision never becomes reality. And we will continue fighting to invest in the American people so that we can lower the cost of living and grow the middle class. Instead of wasting more time on this far-right agenda, House Republicans need to do their job, honor the bipartisan budget agreement, and keep our government open. Time is running out. Deadline is next week. We have to refund government activities by September 30th. Republicans don't want to do that. They want to cut. They want to slash Medicare, Medicaid, Social Security. And obviously, with Social Security, it's something that we have paid into. It's our money that we paid in, and we're hoping to get back if we're lucky enough to live long enough to retire and live a few years beyond retirement. That Social Security money is money that's our money that we paid in. Republicans don't care. Seems like oftentimes the cruelty is the point. That's what it's about, right? It's like, how much can we cut from the working class, the middle class, and give breaks to our buddies that are the millionaires, the billionaires, and the corporations? Same old story, right? 16 and a half minutes after 9 o'clock, going to take a break. It'll be a short one, so stick around. You're tuned in to the Stu Daniels Show.
Cranberry juice, cranberry wine, cranberry brats, cranberry cream puffs. And excuse me, but my cranberry bread is ready. It's cranberry season in Wisconsin, and we're the cranberry capital of not just the U.S., but our farmers also produce more than half of the world's cranberry supply. So can you guess which state Wisconsin beat out to earn the number one spot? New Jersey? Washington State? Massachusetts? The answer coming up. Fall is harvest time, and you can see the machines rolling through the marshlands, which are flooded to help the cranberries float to the top. But it hasn't always been done this easy. Back in the mid-1800s, the berries had to be picked by hand. It took another 100 years for the right equipment to be built to help with this harvest. Okay, so Wisconsin owns the cranberry capital title, but which state lost it to us? Massachusetts, which has been number 2 ever since. By the way, the cranberry is the official state fruit, making it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here. I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe and is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Mostly sunny today. We'll get to 81 for a high this afternoon. The wind out of the southeast at 5 to 15. Tonight, 58. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy. Scattered showers and thunderstorms. 76 Saturday, Sunday. A little cooler with a better chance of rain. We could get some measurable rain right on through the weekend. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 64.
Thanks for listening to your local Civic Media radio station. Learn more on our website, civicmedia.us.
I was just 34 years old, and I was still wandering in a haze. I was wondering why everyone I met seemed like they were lost in a maze. Should have some kind of divine right to the blues. It's sympathy, not tears, people need when they're the front page sad news. The incense burned away and the stench began to rise. Lovers now estranged, avoided catching each other's eyes. Girls who lost their children.
You're having a good day so far. Got a lot of news things breaking right now. I got a breaking story for you here. It says Rupert Murdoch, the creator of Fox News, is stepping down as head of News Corp and Fox Corp. It says here, this is from the Associated Press, by the way. Rupert Murdoch, the 92-year-old Australian media magnate, a magnate whose creation of Fox News made him a force in American politics, is stepping down as leader of both Fox's parent company and his News Corp media holdings. Fox said on Thursday that Murdoch would become chairman emeritus of both companies, effective at board meetings in November. His son Lachlan will become News Corp chairman and continue as chief executive officer of Fox Corp. Lachlan Murdoch said that, quote, "We are grateful that he will serve as chairman emeritus and know he will continue to provide valued counsel to both companies." Besides, Fox News, Murdoch started the Fox Broadcast Network, the first to successfully challenge the big three of ABC, CBS, and NBC with shows like The Simpsons. He is owner of The Wall Street Journal and The New York Post. Fox News Channel has profoundly influenced television and the nation's politics since its start in 1996, making Murdoch a hero to some and pariah to others. The 24-hour network converted the power and energy of political talk radio to television. Within 6 years, it outrated CNN, MSNBC. But it has been a rough year for Fox, which was forced to pay $787 million to settle a defamation lawsuit related to its coverage of false claims following the 2020 presidential election. Shortly after, Fox fired its most popular personality, Tucker Carlson. Murdoch vowed in a letter to employees that he would remain engaged at Fox. Yes, Rupert Murdoch stepping down and retiring at the age of 92. Now, there's something to be said about longevity, but man, Fox News, I don't know. Is that a news network that you can trust? Hey, it's 26 minutes after 9 o'clock. Going to take a break. Stick around. You're tuned into your local Civic Media radio station.
Missed your favorite show? It's easy to find it wherever you listen to podcasts. Apple, Google, or civicmedia.us.
CBS News Brief. We have breaking news on the media front, where Fox News and News Corp have just announced that Chairman Rupert Murdoch will step down and become Chairman Emeritus in November. His son, Lachlan, will become sole chair of News Corp. continue as executive chair and CEO of Fox Corporation. Rupert Murdoch's media career began some 70 years ago. Ukraine's President Volodymyr Zelensky meets President Biden, and then members of Congress will be voting on whether to continue sending aid to Ukraine. CBS's Weijia Jiang.
In advance of Zelensky's visit, President Biden dispatched top intelligence and military advisors to brief senators on the war last night, but it will be a tough sell.
The southern border crisis is stretching the resources of border towns beyond the max. John Martin runs a shelter in El Paso where hundreds of migrants arrive every day.
I anticipate, unfortunately, that we'll continue to see these increases on a daily basis.
CBS News Brief. I'm Peter King.
For Civic Media News, I'm James Kelly. In a press release on Wednesday, Wisconsin Governor Tony Evers announced he is still seeking applicants for the open seat in the Barron County Circuit Court Branch 2. Governor Evers extended the application deadline and will continue to extend it until the vacancy is filled. Judge J.M. Bitney previously held the seat and retired last week without a replacement in place yet. The new judge's term will run through July 31st, 2024. The Chippewa County Sheriff's job may be in jeopardy following a four-hour closed session this week. The meeting reportedly involved concerns raised by a county employee regarding Sheriff Travis Hakes and the workplace. A motion filed by the county board notes an October 10th meeting could involve authorizing charges and the statutory removal of the sheriff. A press release from the Chippewa County Board cited Chapter 7, Section 69 of the Chippewa County Human Resources Manual, which covers the county's workplace violence policy. Sheriff Hakes released a statement accusing the board of disregarding due process. He vows to fight to keep his job. For Civic Media News, I'm James Kelly.
Cranberry juice, cranberry wine, cranberry brats, cranberry cream puffs. And excuse me, but my cranberry bread is ready. It's cranberry season in Wisconsin, and we're the cranberry capital of not just the U.S., but our farmers also produce more than half of the world's cranberry supply. So can you guess which state Wisconsin beat out to earn the number one spot? New Jersey? Washington State? Massachusetts? The answer coming up. Fall is harvest time, and you can see the machines rolling through the marshlands, which are flooded to help the cranberries float to the top. But it hasn't always been this easy. Back in the mid-1800s, the berries had to be picked by hand. It took another 100 years for the right equipment to be built to help with this harvest. Okay, so Wisconsin owns the cranberry capital title, but which state lost it to us? Massachusetts, which has been number two ever since. By the way, the cranberry is the official state fruit, making it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network. Red Delicious, Honey Crisp, Granny Smith. If you have a favorite apple, now is the time to pick it straight from the source. Did you know Wisconsin has more than 300 apple orchards? Travel Wisconsin recently naming its favorites, including the Oneida National Apple Orchard outside Green Bay, Ferguson's Orchards in Eau Claire, and Apple Holler south of Racine. Many provide tons of family fun in the fall, too. Tire swings, lawn bowling, hay rides, and more. Apple experts suggest if you want to pick yours fresh, do it before the end of October. For Civic Media, I'm Terry.
Pursuing the truth wherever it may lead. The Todd Albaugh Show, weekday afternoons from 1 till 3. Join the conversation. Get involved. The Todd Albaugh Show on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. It's What's on Tap for the Chippewa Valley. 93.5 The Tap.
Mama pajama rolled out of bed and she ran to the police station. When the papa found out, he began to shout and he started the investigation. It's against the law. It was against the law. Oh, what did mama saw? It was against the law. The mama looked down and spit on the ground every time her name gets mentioned. Papa said, oh, if I get that boy, I'm gonna stick him in the house of detention. Well, I'm on my way. I don't know where I'm going. I'm on my way. I'm taking my time, but I don't know where. Goodbye to Rose, the queen of Corona. See me and Julio down by the schoolyard. See me and Julio down by the schoolyard.
come and take me away, but the press let the story leak. Now when the radical preach come to get me released, we's all on the cover of Newsweek. And I'm on my way, I don't know where I'm going, I'm on my way. I'm taking my time, but I don't know where. Goodbye to Rosie, the queen of Corona. See me and Julio down by the schoolyard. See me and Julio down by the schoolyard. See me and Julio down by the schoolyard.
Yeah, me and Julio down by the schoolyard having a good time. Welcome back to the Stu Daniels Show. We got 9:35 right now. And, you know, climate change, global warming, etc., has been talked about for decades. For those of us who've been around long enough, we remember back in the 1960s and 70s when we first started reading stories about scientists telling us that the Earth is heating up because of carbon pollution. Right? Carbon emissions from cars, trucks, and factories heating the atmosphere. So now that we're, and remember when Jimmy Carter was in the White House, he was trying to tell us that way back then in the 1970s. And for some reason, Republicans haven't been willing to believe that. They think it's some kind of a hoax. And I'm sure that a lot of it has to do with the fact that many Republican lawmakers are getting huge donations from the oil and gas companies. So that probably has a lot to do with it, but it's gotten to be kind of crazy now. Now that we are in the year 2023 and the evidence is all around us, as every month that goes by is the hottest month on record, right? We had the hottest July on record. We had the hottest June on record. We've got huge climate disasters happening all around us, like hurricanes, wildfires, all kinds of things. There's evidence everywhere, yet some people like Ron DeSantis say humanity is safer than ever from climate change. And that's what he said just weeks after a major hurricane down in Florida. This is a story from HuffPost, and it was posted today by Nick Visser. The headline, DeSantis says humanity safer than ever from climate change just weeks after a major hurricane. A subheadline says warnings about a future of climate-related disasters. The Republican governor and presidential candidate said were merely fear tactics, right? These are fear tactics that scientists are telling us the climate is changing, the earth is warming, just fear tactics. I'll give you a little bit of the story. It says, Florida Governor Ron DeSantis, Republican, said humans are safer than ever from the threat of climate change. And he blasted the Biden administration's effort to address the phenomenon as he unveiled an oil and gas first energy plan on Wednesday. Oil and gas first. What would happen if we had somebody like Ron DeSantis for president? I'll go on with this piece. It says, DeSantis, who is vying for the 2024 Republican presidential nomination, made the comments during a speech in Midland, Texas. He pledged to enact a slew of policies to roll back efforts to address climate change, including proposals to make electric vehicles more expensive, ramp up domestic production of fossil fuels, and remove the United States from the landmark Paris Climate Agreement. Quote, we've seen a concerted effort to ramp up the fear when it comes to things like global warming and climate change, he said Wednesday, claiming Democrats were trying to circumscribe your ambitions. They are even telling our younger generations to have fewer children or not to even have children on the grounds that somehow children are going to make our climate and planet unlivable. And that's wrong to say, end quote. DeSantis's comments come just weeks after a Category 3 hurricane slammed into Florida, bringing record-high floodwaters and warnings from scientists that climate change is fueling more dangerous and more frequent storms. The Secretary General of the United Nations warned this week that humanity has opened the gates to hell, and that even under current commitments, has not done nearly enough to limit planet warming emissions. The Florida governor seemed to reject scientists' concern on Wednesday, saying that although the climate had clearly changed, his policies to increase energy production were in fact a practical way to reduce global emissions. Warnings about a future of climate-related disasters, he said, were merely fear tactics. Quote, we deal with hurricanes in Florida, the governor said. We deal with fires, too, in Florida. But what I would say is when Joe Biden says that he's more worried like in 10 years with the climate than a nuclear war, I mean, I'm sorry, that's just not true. End quote. The lectern in front of the governor held a sign reading, $2 in 2025, pointing to his campaign promise to lower gas prices to $2 a gallon should he be elected to the White House. The Biden campaign took umbrage with DeSantis's attacks, calling his plans, quote, deeply unserious and impractical, and chock full of the climate denialism that defines the MAGA Republican Party. Voters need look no further than DeSantis's own state, where his agenda is leading to skyrocketing energy costs for his constituents, and natural disasters are causing tens of billions of dollars in damages. To know what DeSantis's plan would mean for the country, that's Amar Moussa, a spokesperson for Biden's reelection campaign, as told to the New York Times. DeSantis and most Republicans these days just in complete denial about what's actually going on when we can see it all around us with our own eyes. Hard to believe. And I think that is one of the reasons why some Republicans are now turning away from the Republican Party. I have an interesting story here from the Associated Press that says Republican former congressman endorses Democratic nominee in the Mississippi governor's race. This story posted late last night with a dateline of Jackson, Mississippi, says the last Republican who lost a general election for Mississippi governor is endorsing the Democratic nominee in this year's race. Democrat Brandon Presley's campaign released a statement on Wednesday from former U.S. Representative Mike Parker, who said he is choosing Presley over first-term Republican Governor Tate Reeves. Quote, it's a big deal for me as a former Republican member of Congress and as a former Republican nominee for governor to vote for a Democrat, Parker said. But I'm supporting Brandon Presley because he's a good man. He's a conservative, he's pro-life, and he's exactly what Mississippi needs at this point in time. Tate Reeves has failed Mississippi. Brandon will not. Presley has been trying to appeal to voters across party lines. Quote, I want to win this election with a bipartisan, biracial coalition for Black Mississippians and white Mississippians, Republicans, Democrats, Independents, Presley said during an appearance last week in Summit, Mississippi. Parker was elected to Congress from a Southwest Mississippi district in 1988 as a Democrat. He became a Republican in November of 1995, a year after the Republicans gained control of the U.S. House. Parker was the Republican nominee for governor in 1999 and lost a close race to Democrat Ronnie Musgrove, who was lieutenant governor. Reeves' campaign spokesperson, Clifton Carroll, said in a statement on Wednesday, quote, "It's no surprise that former Democrat Congressman Mike Parker, who endorsed Hillary Clinton and Joe Biden, is continuing his trend of endorsing liberal Democrats," end quote. In 2016, Parker was among 30 Republicans who had served in Congress who signed a letter saying they could not support Republican nominee Donald Trump for president. The letter said Trump makes a mockery of the principles and values we have cherished and which we sought to represent, end quote. Interesting. And that's something you're seeing more in the news now. Republicans and former Republicans now supporting Democrats. 9:45, got to take a break. It'll be a short one. Stick around. You're tuned in to the Stu Daniels Show.
Cranberry juice, cranberry wine, cranberry brats, cranberry cream puffs. And excuse me, but my cranberry bread is ready. It's cranberry season in Wisconsin, and we're the cranberry capital of not just the U.S., but our farmers also produce more than half of the world's cranberry supply. So can you guess which state Wisconsin beat out to earn the number one spot? New Jersey? Washington State? Massachusetts? The answer coming up. Fall is harvest time, and you can see the machines rolling through the marshlands, which are flooded to help the cranberries float to the top. But it hasn't always been this easy. Back in the mid-1800s, the berries had to be picked by hand. It took another 100 years for the right equipment to be built to help with this harvest. Okay, so Wisconsin owns the cranberry capital title, but which state lost it to us? Massachusetts, which has been number two ever since. By the way, the cranberry is the official state fruit, making it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Cripes Cast with Charlie Behrens.
Today, I am talking to the owner of Funky Fresh Spring Rolls, my friend Truman McGee. From an environmentally friendly perspective, yeah. The fact that it's frozen means that it's not going to waste.
I'm a cereal strawberry abuser. If you're a fruit and you're watching this, stay away from me, okay? Do not jump in my shopping cart because I will let you die.
Cripes Cast every Saturday and Sunday at noon across Civic Media and on the Civic Media app.
Mostly sunny today. We'll get to 81 for a high this afternoon. The wind out of the southeast at 5 to 15. Tonight, 58. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy. Scattered showers and thunderstorms. 76 Saturday, Sunday. A little cooler with a better chance of rain. We could get some measurable rain right on through the weekend. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it is 66.
Your home for local news, weather, and sports across the airwaves and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
May make you do some crazy things. It may even make you lie. According to a news story at HuffPost, you probably heard the story last week, right, about Lauren Boebert, congresswoman from Colorado, going to the theater to see a live performance of Beetlejuice with a companion and evidently causing quite a ruckus, so much so that she got kicked out of the theater. And they say that she was vaping and dancing. They were fondling each other. She was taking pictures with a flash and just causing a havoc. And so that people around her throughout the theater actually couldn't even enjoy the show. So they had to kick her out. Well, now there's a news story. This just posted at HuffPost. It says a drag queen at a bar or at the bar owned by Lauren Boebert's date says the congresswoman is lying about the relationship. It's been widely reported that her companion at the performance is a liberal Democrat who owns a gay bar. And that alone was quite a surprise for most people who know Lauren Boebert, because it seems like just the opposite type of person that she'd be hanging out with. And evidently she's going through a divorce right now. But the subheadline says Kendra Matic refuted a claim by Lauren Boebert about her connection to her Beetlejuice companion. This piece posted by Ron Dicker. It says a drag queen who performed at the bar owned by Lauren Boebert's Beetlejuice date said the Republican House member fudged on the details about their relationship. Performer Kendra Matic said Boebert and Quinn Gallagher were not on a first date, as the lawmaker claimed, after they were ejected from a Denver theater performance of Beetlejuice for vaping, talking, and fondling each other, which was caught on surveillance video. Quote, first date and somebody's touching your boobies like that? Drag performer Kendra Matic told TMZ in a clip shared early on Thursday. I know they were dating for a while, months, end quote. Matic, who headlined a drag burlesque show in January at the Hoochcraft Cocktail Bar, co-owned by Gallagher, told TMZ that Aspen, Colorado was a small town and others knew about the relationship. HuffPost has reached out to Boebert for comment. Boebert and Gallagher had been seeing each other under the radar for a while, the New York Post previously wrote. If Boebert was lying, it wouldn't be the first time in her misadventure with Gallagher. She asserted she wasn't vaping at the Beetlejuice performance until closed circuit camera footage revealed her puffing away. Then she said she didn't remember vaping. The far-right lawmaker eventually announced she and Gallagher had parted ways. Quote, all future date nights have been canceled, and I learned to check party affiliations before you go on a date, Boebert said, amid reports that her date is a Democrat. Boebert has been getting roasted for her antics. Quote, I think Lauren Boebert is not one known for reaching across the aisle in Congress, but there was some of that here with her male companion, MSNBC's Jonathan Lemire cracked on Morning Joe. Boebert has offered apologies and excuses. Quote, I was a little too eccentric. I am very known for having an animated personality, maybe overtly animated personality, the right-wing firebrand in Colorado told One America News Network. Interesting. Seems like it's hard to trust anything that the Congresswoman says. It's 9:58. Thank you for tuning in today. And I won't be here tomorrow, so if you're listening tomorrow, Friday, you'll get to hear this show again, is the way it's planned right now, as far as I know. Everybody have a good day, but I will be back on Monday morning at 8 o'clock. Do something nice for someone today. See you Monday.
Cranberry juice, cranberry wine, cranberry brats, cranberry cream puffs. And excuse me, but my cranberry bread is ready. It's cranberry season in Wisconsin, and we're the cranberry capital of not just the U.S., but our farmers also produce more than half of the world's cranberry supply. So can you guess which state Wisconsin beat out to earn the number one spot? New Jersey? Washington State? Massachusetts? The answer coming up. Fall is harvest time, and you can see the machines rolling through the marshlands, which are flooded to help the cranberries float to the top. But it hasn't always been this this easy. Back in the mid-1800s, the berries had to be picked by hand. It took another 100 years for the right equipment to be built to help with this harvest. Okay, so Wisconsin owns the cranberry capital title, but which state lost it to us? Massachusetts, which has been number two ever since. By the way, the cranberry is the official state fruit, making it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228 EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.